Every believer has the capacity to live as Jesus lived. Live victoriously over sin, sickness, death, poverty, and every evil works of the enemy. You can transform not just your own life, but the lives of people around you. The more you expose yourself to the words of God, the more you see it flow through you. In this message, Pastor Philip teaches on how you can respond to God's unconditional love for you. Live your life in the reality of His power and be all His Word says you can be.
Your hands. Say, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. Take your Bible one more time again. Lift it up. If you have your Bibles in hard copy. You have it on your phone. Lift it up. Say, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I believe what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. Okay, so how many of you were blessed by last week's sermon? God's will is prosperity. Amazing that we needed to insist and emphasize on that will of God. Bring it down, David. That God's will for us is to prosper. I don't want to go over the sermon again. So if you weren't in church last Sunday, you need to get that sermon. You need to. It's not about wanting. You need to listen to that sermon. The emphasis is that God wants you to prosper. It will shock you in Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2 is a popular scripture for the promise of the Holy Spirit. Can you open Joel chapter 2? Joel chapter 2. The same scripture that promised the Holy Spirit and that in the last days God was going to pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. It was the same scripture that Peter quoted in the upper room when the Holy Ghost fell on them. And that was God's promise for the church. Are you following me? Are you following me? So the only way I can know that you are following me is that you talk back to me. Are you following me? Yeah, if I have I want a strong feedback, church, I might need to plant one or two people that their voices are loud to let me know that you are following this morning. You can't allow anything to distract you. Anything that wants to distract you now, you can be sure came from your village. Anybody that wants to distract you, the person is working for your village. Because the word of God is true and it's powerful. The same scripture that promised the Holy Spirit, the same scripture that promised that in the last days there will be an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, is Joel chapter 2, spoke about the revival of God's army. If you read Joel chapter 2 from verse 1, it spoke about an army of God that would come, very strong army, very mighty army. That same scripture, if you look at verse 28 that we love, and that's what we quote the most, Joel chapter 2 verse 28. This screen is not working. Joel chapter 2 verse 28. What does it say?
And it shall come.
Yes.
Afterward.
So it says it shall come to pass afterward. Afterward what? What's the meaning of afterward? What does it mean to say afterward? That means something came in before that. So I know that a lot of us have quoted that scripture over and over. It shall come to pass afterwards. But we have never really thought that what was coming before what. So let's backtrack a bit. Let's find out what came before the outpouring of His Spirit. That's verse 23. It said, be glad. You know, we read verse 28. We're going back to verse 23. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for He hath given you the former rain moderately. And it would cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. And the floors shall be full. Someone say full. Now, it says the floors shall be full of wheat. And the vats shall overflow with wine and oil. That's surplus. It shall be full. Your barns, the floor is full of wheat. That's food. And the vats overflow with wine and oil. Verse 21, and I will restore to you the years. Restoration of lost years. The years that the cankerworm, the locust, the caterpillar, the palmer worm that my great army has eaten. And ye shall eat out. Answer me, church.
Plenty.
How will you eat?
Plenty.
Will you eat cantingly?
No, sir.
How will you eat?
In plenty.
It says you shall eat in plenty. You shall have enough to eat and be satisfied. And praise the name of your Lord your God that I dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be ashamed. And ye shall know that I am the midst of Israel. And that I am the Lord your God. And none else. And my people, says again, shall never be ashamed. And it shall come to pass afterwards, I'll pour my spirit. So you see, the promise of wealth came at the same time when the promise of the spirit came. Are you following me? The fact that God promised his Holy Ghost in the day of Pentecost. Here we see that it was in the same chapter that the end time church will be full of the Holy Ghost and be full of wealth. But somehow the devil crept in, removed the wealth part. And so we focused on the Holy Ghost and forgot that this thing came together. It's Follow.com. I suppose it's Follow.com. It's when you buy your phones, come with Follow.com batteries. Instead you buy it from, you know, but if you buy it from the real place, it comes with Follow.com battery, comes with Follow.com chargers. The wealth and the end time church came together with the Holy Ghost. 3 John verse 2. Amplified version. 3 John verse 2. Can you help me shrink this screen? Who's behind the screen? Help me shrink this screen. 3 John verse 2. Amplified. What's amplified? Quickly. 3 John verse 2. Beloved.
That you may prosper.
I want you to listen to that scripture very powerfully. 3 John verse 2. Beloved, what?
I pray.
Is that amplified?
Yes, sir.
Yep.
I pray. That you may prosper.
I pray that you may prosper.
In every way.
In every way.
And that your body.
And that your.
Body.
Your body.
May keep well.
May keep well.
Even as I know.
Even as I know.
Your soul.
Your soul.
Keeps well.
Keeps well.
And prospers.
Are you sure it's amplified?
Amplified classic.
No, give me amplified. If I want Amplified Classic, say Amplified Classic.
Okay, sir.
Amplify. Beloved, Amplify, what does it say? I pray that in every way. So, that was the word I was missing. It says, I pray that in every way. King James says, above all. What does it mean above all? Eh? If I say above all, what does it mean? I didn't hear you. Eh? You guys are talking. I cannot really hear. What wants to say something? Most importantly. So he says, I want to tell you something that is more important than every other thing. What was that important thing? Give it to me. Amplify. He says, your success and prosperity is more important than every other thing. I know that your religious mind is fighting seriously now. That you cannot tell me that it's more important than heaven. You cannot do that. Calm down. Calm down. Just like this, calm down. But come here. What does it say next? I want you to succeed. I want you to prosper and be in good health. Yes? Physically. So, I want you to be in health and I want you to prosper and succeed as your soul is prospering spiritually. Did you get that now? That God does not want you to be prospering spiritually and not prosper financially. Is that English very clear? The story is clear now, Abby. It says, above all. Above all. You are sitting in this church this morning, and God looks at you from heaven. If he looks at you, what he's thinking in his heart is that above all, above every other thing, I want this, my child, to prosper and succeed. Prosper in your business. Succeed in your career. I want you to. I'm going to be deliberately slow this morning because I want you to get this thing very clearly. Now, there are people who are always arguing that wealth is not a package in the New Testament. I've seen people argue, particularly people argue about salvation and that the gift of Christ is salvation. And I agree with you. I agree with you completely that Jesus Christ died to save us from our sins. But Jesus Christ did not die to save us from our sins without saving us from the fruit of our sins. Poverty is a fruit of sin. There was no poverty until man sinned. Are you following my point? Are you getting me this morning? So if Jesus came to set you free from sin, he also came to set you free from the consequences of sin. So they argue that it can't be true that there's no such thing as wealth as a provision in the new covenant. And that God did not go to the cross so that human beings can have money. And the argument is that there are several people who are not born again that have money. And so you can't tell me that money is a fruit of salvation. Because there are several people who are unbelievers that are not born again. And I want to think very logically. You see, without religion, let's put religion aside. Let's think very, very practically this morning. If there are people who are unbelievers who have no money, who have money, and there are believers who don't have money, it's possible for someone to logically agree or conclude that money or wealth is not a provision of the blood of Jesus. Because if it's a provision of the blood of Jesus, everyone that is not in Christ should not have money. That's the argument. Yeah. So they argue that the new covenant therefore does not provide for wealth. It provides only for salvation. And so if I call these people and sit them down, none of them is going to argue with me that prosperity and health was a provision in the Old Testament. They all agreed. All of them agree that God promised Abraham wealth. God that cannot lie. You know God cannot lie. You know God cannot lie. God cannot lie. And yet God was swearing. Say, hey, I swear you will be rich. Ordinary God cannot lie. He didn't need to swear. People that, if you see someone that's already swearing, that person may want to lie. Now, God cannot lie. But God was swearing. The angels were saying, God, calm down. That shall say, shut up here. I swear. I swear. Because he saw that Abraham was going to kill Isaac on the ground of that sacrifice. I swear. Bible says he did not find any being greater than himself. He swore by himself. So nobody that is arguing over wealth being a provision of the New Testament will argue that wealth was a provision in the Old Testament. Everybody will agree that health and wealth was a provision in the Old Testament. Do you agree with me? So, but in the Old Testament, were there Philistines who were wealthy? Eh? Were there Egyptians who were wealthy? So if wealth was an exclusive preserve of the covenant, would there be Philistines who were wealthy in the Old Testament? The reason why there were Philistines who were wealthy in the Old Testament is the reason why they are unbelievers who are wealthy now. Why are they wealthy? They are bank points holding the wealth in trust until the children of promise are ready to receive it. Somebody must hold money. Money cannot be in the sky. So they are POS centers everywhere. Are you following my point? Now, if you agree with me, if all of us here in church this morning agree with me that the Old Testament provided for health and for wealth, Hebrews chapter 7, verse 22. Quickly. Hebrews 7, verse 22. This is in the New Testament. Hebrews 7, verse 22. What does it say? Hebrews 7, 22. What does it say? Quickly. Yes.
Better strength and force.
Because of what?
The oath's greater strength and force.
Yes.
Jesus has become a certain guarantee.
Jesus, what time is this?
Amplified.
Yeah, Jesus has become what?
A certain guarantee.
A certain guarantee.
Of a better covenant.
So the Bible says that the New Testament, are you following me this morning?
Yes,
that the New Testament is a better covenant than the Old Testament. The Bible says that the New Testament is a better, that Jesus is a surety, is a guarantor of a better testament. Give me 8 verse 6. Hebrews chapter 8. Just the next chapter. Hebrews 8 verse 6. Jesus is the surety of a better covenant. 8 verse 6. What
but as it is,
what that is,
Christ has acquired a priestly ministry.
Christ acquired a priestly ministry,
which is more excellent.
This ministry is more excellent
than the old Levitical priestly ministry.
Than the old Levitical ministry, yes.
For he is the mediator.
Jesus is the mediator.
Arbiter.
An arbiter.
Of a better covenant.
Of a better covenant.
Uniting God and man.
So if the Bible says that the New Testament is a better covenant. If you have an iPhone 11, I want to presume that the iPhone 12 is better than the iPhone 11. Can we safely conclude? Okay. If you simply conclude that iPhone 12 is better than iPhone 11, and we're saying just like scripture says, that iPhone 12 is a better iPhone than iPhone 11. What does it mean? It means it has everything that iPhone 11 has and much more. So if prosperity was guaranteed in the Old Testament, and Jesus is the surety of a better testament, it meant prosperity and much more is guaranteed in the new. Is that logic clear? So if I want to argue now, I say no. That's a pure lie. Jesus paid an heavy price for you to be rich. Bible says, you know the grace of the Lord Jesus who was rich. He became poor that ye through his poverty might be rich. Divine prosperity and divine health work the same way. What it means or what it takes to be healthy physically is what it takes to be wealthy physically. Same thing. Jesus bore the cost of poverty. At the same time, he bore the cost of sickness. The day Jesus Christ died for your sin was the day he died for your sickness. Was the day he died for your poverty. The same day. These things has to do with your disposition. If you have not seen it as the will of God, it's difficult to pray for it. You see, God's word is his will. And faith begins when the will of God is known. Follow me closely. If you have not agreed now with me, if you have not agreed with me that prosperity is God's will for you, you cannot pray for it. If you have not agreed with me that good health is God's will for you, you cannot pray for it. If you have not agreed with me that success in school is God's will for you, you cannot believe for it. It is an aberration. It is an abomination for a Christian to be failing exams. It is an abomination. You that have the mind of Christ, you understand what God wrote. You cannot understand what man wrote. There's a problem somewhere. When I was on campus, I knew that passing my exams was God's will for me. I knew that knowing more than my teachers was God's will for me. Because I have understanding more than what? When my teachers are teaching, I say, I'm more brilliant than that guy. I'm smarter than that guy. I used to boast that this is why I didn't come out with first class was because my handwriting was jagajaga. Jagajaga handwriting, as if I'm a doctor. Tell him. I knew the questions before they came out. I sit in my class, in my room. I said, Lord, ye know all things. And the Holy Ghost says, he shall reveal to you things to come. Lord, one of the things to come is my exams. This thing is coming very fast. Reveal it to me. I sat in my room. There were unbelievers in school those days. That when it's about one day to the exam, they be roaming around my room. They enter, bros, you don't drop. They knew it was going to drop. They used to call me evil genius. My final year was worse. I had about 30 or 20% class attendance. I knew more than my teachers. When I'm reading for exams, I'm reading from a place of victory. I'm not jittery. There is nothing human being writes that I cannot understand. I have already understood what God wrote. So if I cannot come to the place where I have taken my success in exams as a will of God for me, it will be difficult to believe God for it. If I don't know that health, bodily healing, is God's will for me, it will be difficult for me to believe for it. I was running up and down, Val was telling me, sir, you have stamina. I say yes. I'm strong as an horse. I believe in my mind that there's no way sickness will find expression in my life. Why? I found out in God's word. When I found it in his word, I believed it entirely. That it took my infirmities. It took. What's the meaning of took? Eh? When the Bible says took, when that thing came to me, I was seeing the first time in my life. The difference between take, will take, and took. That before I was born, Jesus already took my infirmities. It was too clear, sir. It was too clear that when I had an accident and I was rushed to the hospital, unconscious. I rushed into the hospital. I was hearing faintly as they were calling my name, Philip, but I couldn't see anything. I understood even in my spirit that Jesus had already taken my infirmities. And the doctor came in to the theater. They said, what happened? Says he hit his head against the iron. I was in the Kekenapep. And the Kekenapep ran into an incinerator, hit my head against something I didn't even know, passed out. The moment the doctor says, we have to keep him here for 2 days, I jacked back to life. I said, never! I cannot lay on a sick bed till I die. From my unconsciousness, I had taken it too much. It has intoxicated me. Now, if I take my divine prosperity like I took my healing, I will be that prosperous. What it takes to live healthily is what it takes to live wealthily. You should refuse the symptom of lack like you receive the symptom of sickness. Some of you feel one small pain in your neck. Say, stop that, you devil, in the name of Jesus. But you see symptom of lack in your account. You allow it slide. This morning, if you are in lack this morning in church, if you don't have enough to get by, if you don't have extra in your account to support God's work, you are suffering from the symptoms of lack. If you don't have enough money to live by, you are suffering. You just say, I know now. This is a symptom of lack. And when God delivers the key to your hands, that's the end. This morning, the laws of prosperity goes to divide your hands in the name of Jesus. Everything in the kingdom operates by keys. Everything. Jesus Christ said to Peter, today, I give you the keys of the kingdom. There are many doors in the kingdom. There are doors of healing, doors of health, doors of wealth, there's doors of long life. And all those doors have different keys. Are you following my point? So those keys, when God hands it over to you, you are in command. You are in command. If you have the key in your hand, you don't struggle in front of any door. The door respects the key. But if you don't have the key, you'll be kicking the door. You say, can't you see me? I'm here. I've been serving God for 10 years. But the door will not open. Because door does not respond to personalities. Door responds to key. If a small baby, 2-year-old, carries the key, the door will respond to that key. The keys of prosperity are dropping your hands this morning in the name of Jesus. I said they are dropping your hands in the name of Jesus. You must make up your mind today. If you don't do anything this morning, you must make up your mind. You must make a quality decision that you are not going to live in poverty. You are looking at your life like this. I will not be poor. I was talking to a lady. She came and she met me. She said, after speaking, she said, Pastor, I'm going to be a billionaire. And I said, I'm going to be a billionaire from 35. We spoke to a level. It became, you know, she could almost say, Kai. Very clear. Very clear. Redemption from the cost of poverty is one of the substitute work of Jesus on the cross of Calvary. Jesus paid the price for you to be redeemed from the cost. So what are the laws of prosperity? Number one is the word. Number one is what? Answer me now. God will not do one thing and say another. If you are looking for the will of God for your life, what you should look for is his word. His will is in his word. His will for total healing is his word. His will for your prosperity, it's in his word. Isaiah 55 verse 10 to 11. Quickly. Isaiah 55 verse 10 to 11. Help me do more. King James. Isaiah 55, 10 to 11. Isaiah 55 verse 10 to 11. His word. What does it say? Isaiah 55:10. As rain coming down.
And the snow from heaven.
As the rain comes down and snow from heaven, yes.
And returneth not thither.
And does not return to heaven, yes.
But watereth the earth.
But waters the earth.
And maketh it bring forth.
It makes the earth to bring forth. The rain comes down from heaven and makes the earth to bring forth, yes.
And bud.
And bud.
That it may give seed to the sower.
That it may give seed to a sower.
And bread to the eater.
And bread to the eater.
So shall my word.
What?
So shall my word be.
So he says, my word, the same way rain comes down from heaven, waters the ground, makes it fruitful. That is the way my word is. Yes, continue.
That goeth forth from my
that
mouth.
That comes from my mouth.
It shall not return unto me void.
It will not return back to me void.
But it shall accomplish that which I please.
So if God wants to do something in your life now, what he would first do is to say a word concerning it. As a child of God, the first thing to go for as a key to prosperity is God's word. In Joshua chapter 1 verse 8, very popular scripture says, this book of the law should not depart from off your mouth, but thou shalt what? Day and night, that thou mayest what? Observe to do those things that are written therein, then thou shalt do what? Eh? Answer me now. You guys are not sure? Media is not giving us scripture. Thou shalt do what? And thou shalt what? So it says this word that God speaks is the tool for prosperity. Is the tool for success. God's word. What do I do with the word? Number one is to find it. So you have number one, the word. What do I do with the word? Number one is to find it. Is to find the word. Is to find the word. I need you to help me very fast tomorrow because of our time. Proverbs 24, verse 13 to 14. The first thing I'm supposed to do is to find the word. Proverbs 24, 13 to 14. What does it say?
My son. Eat thou honey.
Eat thou honey.
Because it is good.
Because it is good.
And the honeycomb.
And the honeycomb.
Which is sweet to thy taste.
Which is sweet in thy taste.
So shall the knowledge of wisdom be unto thy soul.
So shall the knowledge of wisdom be unto thy soul.
When thou hast found it.
When you have found it. What happened?
Then there shall be a reward.
So the reward comes after you have found it. The word of God has to be searched thoroughly till you find it. How did I find God's word for healing? I was sick. I was sicker than a sickler. Ejection today, drip tomorrow. Lay on the sick bed today, carry me rush to hospital tomorrow. On that bed, one day I said, Lord, why do I have to go through this? I sent my word and I healed you. The word came to me as light. You see, the word of God is like light. On that sick bed, I caught the key. So I found the word. The first thing you have to do is to find God's word for your prosperity. If you are worried about anything, it's a sign of deficiency of God's knowledge in that thing. If I see anyone that is worried about their finances, they are deficient in knowledge about God's will for their finances. What you are supposed to do is to find what God said. God cannot lie except you don't believe God. You have heard me say boldly from our stage that I will never sleep on a sick bed till I die. How many of you have heard me say that before? I've been saying it for about 20 years. People have waited. That let's be watching it. One cannot be bold like this. Instead of it to say, by the grace of God. Why am I applying to a grace that a word has already commanded? Why am I applying grace? He has already said, he took my family. Say, pastor, do that. I'm saying it again. Caution, caution, caution. I'm saying it again. I will never lie on a sick bed till I die. If they tell you, there's some pastor Philip on a sick bed, just laugh. Maybe he looks like me. I will never lie on a sick bed. Be careful. This is on internet. Internet never forgets. I will never lie on a sick bed till I die. I'm saying to me. Why? I found it. Your worry, your anxiety is a sign that you have not found the word. When you find the word, it becomes life to you. Proverbs chapter 4 verse 25. It says, they are life to those who found it. God's life to you. How many scriptures do you know about prosperity? You're always complaining about lack. But if I ask you now, can you give me 10 scriptures about prosperity? You don't know. You don't know 10. You don't know 10. You always complain about nose ache, shoulder ache. Give me 10 scriptures about healing. You don't know it. I have 100 scriptures on healing. 100. If you catch me in time, 100 scriptures on healing. Straight. Why? I found it. So, have you found the word? You are complaining of no job. No job, no job. Have you found the word? When I was serving as a copper, before I left NYC, I had a word for job. What is that word that I found in job? I found the book of Matthew. He said, and he found some people I do. He said, go into the field and walk. I didn't want to care who said it. I just said, go into the field and walk. I saw it in the scriptures. So I can never be jobless. I took my letter to a law firm. Random law firm. Just search for them as a copper. Went there. I was too confident of the work. As I sat in the interview, they interviewed me. Come and see me talking. You think I'm known of the law firm? I already had so much dreams for the law firm. When I share my vision for the law firm with them, they say, can you resume tomorrow morning? I said, when we are done, this will be in place. The man said, what? This guy is so smart. So smart. They employed me instantly. They sent me abroad as a copper to represent the company in a board meeting of a foreign investor. As a copper. They used that thing to lure me, to beg me not to get out of their law firm after my service here. They used abroad to lure me. So I will not resign. And then my friends were carrying paper now, looking for job, looking for job, looking for job. I knew, I found the word for my job fullness. Found it. So don't complain if you have not found the word. Pastor, have you found it? What? Before you look for a prayer point, look for a word point. What have you found? What have you found? You don't know God's will for your life. The first thing to do is to find the word. Number two is to talk the word. What do I do with the word? Number two, talk the word. Number one, find the word. Number two, talk the word. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6 and 7. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6 and 7. Give it to me two more. Deuteronomy 6, 6 and 7. What does it say? And these words. These words which I commanded this day, yes?
Shall be in thine heart.
It will be first where?
In thine heart.
In your heart, yes?
And thou shalt teach them diligently.
Because out of the abundance of the heart, what happens? It shall be in your heart and you shall teach them how?
Diligently.
You will teach them hardworkingly. To who?
Unto thy children.
Unto your children. Continue.
And shall talk of them.
You'll be talking about it.
When thou sittest in thine house.
When you sit in the parlor.
And when thou walkest by the way.
So when you people are in the parlor, you are talking about the word. You're talking the word. Talking the word. In the parlor. Standing room. You're talking the word. Talking the word. People don't know about the word. Yes, the word. And after the word, more word. The word and the word and the word and more, much, much more word. When you are walking by the way, Abby?
Yes, sir.
As you are strolling with your children, strolling with your friends, you are talking about the word. The word. The word. You see, long gone are those days. I think those days are still here. That you have friends that you talk the word. Yes. You have friends that you meet, and all you are discussing is the word. The word. In those days when we were on campus, you finished sermon, we are discussing the word. What pastor preached today? We can discuss that thing for 3 hours. We can discuss it to the extent that we discuss it tonight. My wife is a witness. I went to Kefi. My pastor was going to preach there for a youth NYSC national conference. And as I got there, we were on the way. I was supposed to help him go sell his books. So I took his books there with him. I went with as a protocol officer. When I got there, I saw a friend of mine, old friend from school. And I began to talk the word. Do you know that as I began to talk the word, before I knew, 1 hour went. 2 hours went. By the time I was going to lift up my head, there was a crowd surrounding me. People were passing hard and stopped by. Before I knew it, there was a crowd. Someone said, won't you get a pulpit? We were on the way. 3 hours talking the word. I had to escape and I begged my wife, please help me disperse the crowd. Because they were not going to go. He said, by the way, talk it. What does it do more again? What does it say next?
And when thou liest down.
So when you are sleeping like this, what are you doing? You are talking the word, sleeping down, talking the word, standing up, talking the word, walking by the way, and what again?
And thou riseth up.
When you rise up, you talk the word. There is no way you can fill your life with word like that concerning prosperity and you be in lack. When you wake up, you talk it. You sleep, you are talking it. You lie down, you are talking it. And out of the abundance, you listen to yourself. Just listen to yourself. If you are always talking about sakpa, sakpa. Some of you used to play with sakpa. You say it's cruise. I don't play with such things. You can never stumble on lack on my status. Never. Why? How? I am supernaturally provided for. Billions. I don't care. It's not if you like, think, I don't play with it. Satan is not here to play with me. He came all the way from hellfire. So what you go Sakba, nice one. How? Never. I can never. You say you don't want people to ask, you don't want people to be you. If I'm not going to give, I'm not going to give you. You cannot put me under pressure to give you. I'm not going to give you. I have, but I'm not giving you. I will not, because I don't want you to be me, now begin to confess terrible things on my own self because I want to cruise. Say, Pastor, you're taking it extreme. Yes, Abraham was extremely rich. I am extreme. Abraham was extremely rich. Say, he's not up to that now. He's not rich like that now. No. Listen to yourself. Your normal daily conversation, what does your conversation, what does it have? Do you talk fear? Do you talk faith? Do you talk doubt? Or you talk courage? Or you talk God's word? What you say will show us what you have been filling your hearts and feeding your hearts with. Number two, talk the word. Number three, meditate on your word. That is to dwell upon the word in your thought life. You are constantly thinking. Are you taking down these notes? You are constantly taking. If you come and complain again, I don't have money. That's your own. I've told you the cue. Because some people, they just want to be begging. You give them the solution, they will not agree. This is it. There's nothing else. This is it. I'm telling you. This is it. There's nothing else. I can't lie to you. There's nothing else. How do we do it? How do we sustain this? This is it. There's no. I don't have another thing I'm doing. This is what I'm doing. Think on the word. If you can worry, then you can think. If you can worry, then you can meditate. What it takes to worry is what it takes to meditate. Worrying is thinking on the words of Satan. Meditate is thinking on the words of God. So can you worry all through the day at work? Is it possible? Is it possible to be working at work and you're worrying? Hey, how will I be mastered? Hey, how will I, this thing, no, kill me. Is that possible? No, answer me now. It's possible. It's possible to worry all through the day. You are in the midst of work, you are in the bus, and you are worried. And you are doing your work in the office, and you are worried. You see, your subconscious has been programmed default setting worry. If there's nothing to worry about, you are worried that there's nothing to worry about. You see, you're always worrying. It's possible. It's possible. Jesus Christ said, do not worry about tomorrow. It's an instruction. It's not a suggestion. Do not worry. So, if I can worry, then I can meditate. What's it to meditate? I'm taking God's word. This word that I found, this word that I'm talking about, I'm taking God's word. As a pastor of SS, I'm saying, Lord, SS is prosperous. You know, I'm beginning to dream already about entering SS members' private jets. I'm already dreaming it. I'm thinking on it. That there will be members in this church that will fly their private jets. I'm thinking about it. I'm not thinking on lack. I'm not thinking on scarcity. I'm not thinking that, hey, they will kill, everything will just collapse, everything will just scatter. Hey, I'm not thinking like that. I'm thinking of advancement. I'm thinking of the days that everything will be full, the floor will be full of it. So I think on it. So one is to find the word. Two is to speak the word or say the word. Three is to meditate. Four is to act on the word. Make a quality decision to do whatever you find in the word. In my life, in my family, God's word take the first and the final position. In anything we are going to do, if my wife can bring up a word, I surrender to God's word. I surrender completely to God's word. If I can bring up God's word to her, she surrender completely to God's word. Our children surrender completely to God's word. We act. We are not just hearers of the word. We are doers of the word. So I make up my mind. I am not just going to speak the word. I'm not just going to meditate. I'm going to do the word. So if I find an instruction in God's word, I'm not going to play games with it. Some people are playing games with God's word. You obey today, you disobey tomorrow. You are running like shifts. I am not a nurse or doctor. I'm not playing games. I'm in it all. I'm in it full length. Number two. First key is the word. Number two is kingdom priority key. Matthew 6 verse 33. Kingdom priority. Kingdom priority. Matthew 6 verse 33. Please follow me closely. What is the key for a believer's prosperity? You guys are not disciplined anymore. What?
But seek ye first.
Yep.
The kingdom of God.
Okay.
And his righteousness.
Yes.
And all these things shall be added.
Now, all the things that the Gentiles seek, clothes to wear, food to eat, houses to live in, the Bible says, you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So, putting God first, listen to me, you are not wiser than God. You cannot handle your life. You see, God is the one that created you, and you don't have more plans for your life than he has for you. Some of you think that God has more, you can be smarter, that God is too slow. That if only God give you an opportunity to create your life, you know what you have done with this life. That it's just that you don't know what God is doing. If you were God, you would have treated God better than he's treating you. So you have that kind of disposition. That you, if you are the one in control of this world, you know what you would have done with this world. God is smarter than you. If God says, seek the kingdom first, I'm going to add every other thing to you. God meant it. Jesus was the one that said that. He didn't say, your needs are not valid. He said, yes, your needs for food, your need for house to live in, your need for clothes to wear are valid needs. He said, but don't seek those needs. Seek first. Someone say first. Say first. So in my family, it is kingdom first. My children know that everything that we have, God can ask for it anytime. Kingdom first. Some people cannot give their shoe to God. If God appears in person and says, I need this shoe, they say, how much do you have? Some people must collect money for everything. Even their father, if their father wants to use something, their father must be ready to pay. Their earthly father. Terrible. Some people cannot even, they can't do anything. The Bible says, seek first. Are you following me this morning? Kingdom priority. What does God want? What is God's business? Seek it first. The Bible says, and all these things. If you believe the word, just believe the word. If you don't believe it, don't believe it. If the Bible says this, if you want to follow it, follow it. And we have seen many lives who have followed it. How many lives have followed it? Follow God. I did not die. I am following God, and your life is not better than my life. There's nothing you are driving that cannot die. There's nothing you are eating. I'm not just a foodie. There's nothing you are eating that cannot eat. There's nowhere you can travel to that can't travel to. There's no way. But we sought the Lord. Seek first the Lord. Seek first the Lord. Don't put your trust in your job. Your job is a channel, not your source. Don't put your trust in your skill. God can bless the works of your hand, but the works of your hand is not the source of your prosperity. God is the source of your prosperity. So when God says, seek first the kingdom, seek God first. I remove my tithe first. I remove God's home first. If I want to buy rug in my house and God does not have rug, I buy God's rug first. Me. That's me. That's me. We're using our television at home. Television that we bought. We bring it to church every Sunday. The television got scratched like Trapper Mark. We're bringing like that. Sometimes we forget it in church. My children are already used to it. Everything is God's thing. If you show too much interest in something, God wants that thing. So you must be, you should clear your mind. God cannot, he's a jealous God. You should show as if you love something. When Abraham showed that he loved Isaac too much, God said, give me Isaac. You cannot share your heart with anybody. Kingdom first. When I put God first before myself, he prospers the works of my heart. I told you that story before. I was supposed to go preach in a church in Calabar. See, that is in church. It's in the church. in their church. And I didn't even know the name of their church till now. It's not Dunamis, it's not Redeem, it's not Minasham, it's not House on the Rock, it's not Koinonia. It's a church inside Calabar. And as he told me that we'd like you to come and preach in our church in Calabar, I went to pray at home. When I prayed at home, God spoke to me. He said, "Son, I'm the one sending you there." When I got to my office the next morning, there was a mail waiting for me on my email. Come to South Africa for a board meeting. It was going to run for like 1 week or two. I think it's one or two. I can't remember. I said, "Kingdom first." Somebody say, "Kingdom first." Say it again, say, "Kingdom first." There is no wisdom. Say, wisdom. You know, can they please shift their program? Can they shift their program forward so I can quickly go to South Africa and then come back? Or someone say, "Hey, maybe you should ask God again." I said, "God knows tomorrow. When God says go, he already knew what was coming. Are you following me this morning?" And he said, "Go and do it." But God, and he said, "God, what are you saying again?" God does not say anything again. I already said what he said. He said, "Go to Calabar, period." I want to tell my boss. I said, "Madam, I'm sorry, ma'am. I will not be able to go." Of course, she knows I was a ministry person. She said, "Hey, and we need you on that team. We need to be there with us." I said, "Sorry, ma'am, I might not be able to make it." He said, "Okay, no problem. You go to your ministration, and when you come back, come and go on vacation to South Africa." So the other team went to work. Me, I went on. Kingdom first. You never lose by putting God first. You never lose by putting God first. God first. God first. In your decision of a spouse, God first. Some of you look at Bobby first. God first. God first. You look at Bom Bom first. God first. God first. What is God? What is this union going to do to the kingdom of God? That's what we look. Are you following me? You are laughing. First. Kingdom first. Kingdom first. Number one, key, the word. Number two, kingdom priority. If I put the kingdom of God first, I am taking in the laws of prosperity. Number three, quickly, is giving. And I'm going to end with this because my time is up already. Number three is giving. All revelations in the world on financial dominion is rooted on the platform of giving. Nothing is permitted to multiply until it is sown. Giving is the source of God's prosperity. Giving is living. No matter how delicious what you have eaten is, it has a limited amount of hours it must spend in your body before you pass it out. Otherwise, it becomes a poison. There's a part that is for you, and there's a part that you are supposed to be a channel to someone else. Giving is living. The key to prosperity is not prayer. Can I announce to you now that prayer cannot take you from poverty to prosperity? Fasting cannot do it. Prayer and fasting will give you power. But have you seen very powerful prayer warriors that are terribly and thoroughly impoverished? Their shoe bend like this. Yet they command power in the spirit. We just hear their voice and disappear, but they are poor. Because prayer is not a key to prosperity. They appear and demons scatter. But poverty embraces them. Because prayer and fasting may give you power, but will not give you prosperity. So if you are praying, pray, Father, pray. Forget. You're wasting time. Giving is the key. It takes giving to get there. It takes giving to remain there. And it takes growing in your giving to experience changes of level in kingdom prosperity. It takes giving to get there. It takes giving to remain there. It takes growing in your giving. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 to 10. Proverbs 3, 9 to 10, quickly. Proverbs 3, verse 9 to 10. What does it say? Honor the Lord with your substance.
And with the first fruits of all thine increase.
With the first fruits of all your increase, yes.
So shall thy barns be
full. So when you honor the Lord, you will not need to pray. Your barns will be full. Yes, continue.
And thy presses shall burst out with
you. You guys open that scripture. Open it. Open it. I wait for you. Proverbs chapter 3, 9. Open it. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9. What does it say? Want to go? Everybody together. Want to go?
Honor the Lord. Lord with thy substance.
Yes.
And with the first fruits of all thine increase.
Yes.
So shall thy barns be filled with plenty.
Mm-hmm.
And thy presses shall burst out with new wine.
So the key to your barns being full is releasing your seed in honor. God will not bless anyone beyond that person's commitment to promoting the kingdom of God with his finances. God will not bless anyone beyond that person's commitment to promoting or blessing humanity with their funds. When we started SLC, we sold everything that we have. Everything. Must have sold up at maybe 1 point. All these savings, 1 point something million I had. Gave everything. We bought drums, bought everything. That's 3 years ago. We are still very rich. Why? Nothing that you use to honor God diminishes. Nothing is permitted to multiply until it is sown. Anything you eat has perished. It is what you sow that multiplies. So the first giving is your tithe. And let me tell you, if you like, listen to anybody. All we have listened to, they have not given you anything. And if someone cannot show you God's word, I'm going to show it to you today. Your first foundational giving is your tithe. I was paying my tithe as a campus student. They gave me 5,000 naira. I will never forget that particular. They gave me 5,000. My monthly allowance was 5,000 naira. 5,000 naira, monthly allowance. All the entire month. 5,000 naira. I paid my tithe, 500 naira. May 4-5. And I saw one fine Bible I like. 3-6. I bought it. I bought Maxwell Yashi Bible. 3,600 naira. I will never forget that month. Amen. I'll never forget that one. I'll never forget that one. 3-6. Is what you buy? Is that a Bible? Is it 3,000? Is it 5,000? Your tithe is your foundation. The tithe belongs to God. It doesn't belong to you. The first book of Leviticus says the tithe is the Lord's. So let me give an example. If the way people are, you know, giving to church, giving to church, is God's money, Abby? Eh? Have you agreed? Answer me now. People are giving to church. It's God's money. You agree that it's God's money. So if I take out of that money, have I stolen from God's money? Eh? So if they say this money is God's money and I take out of it, I've stolen from God's money, Abi. That is God's money in my custody. Are you following my point? Are you following me now? God's money in my custody, if I take out of it, I have stolen it. The tithe is God's money in your custody. It was never your own. It's never your own. So if the money comes to me, I might start from the level that I am. People pay tithes in the realm of millions. You cannot pay tithes of 100 million. You see, you pay tithes of 100 million. God wants to start with you. So it belongs to God. You give it out. Now, Malachi chapter 3 verse 10 spoke about a curse. In the Old Testament, there was a curse for not paying your tithe. In the New Testament, there is no curse. The Old Testament saints did what they did because of the law. We Christians do what we do because of love. Are you following my point? Are you following me? So there was no law when Abraham gave tithes to Melchizedek. There was no law. He gave it to him. When Jacob gave tithes to God, there was no law. When the Levites came and started paying tithes, there was law. Jesus bore the curse of the law. So there is no more curse for not paying your tithes. There's no more curse for not paying the offering. But you are only denying yourself of God putting his hands in your finances. That's all. It's not a curse. Your tithe is the first. It's the foundation. That's the first. If you give me any money now, if you start and remove 500, that's God's tithe. Fast. I have a church account in my account. And I refuse tithe. I refuse tithe. One man said, say, I want to send my tithe to your church. I said, don't you have church? He said, no. I said, no, pay your tithe to your church. You are not your church. He said, no, but yeah, you know, you are blessed. Said, no. If you want to give to God, give to God. If you want to pay your tithe to your church. If you want to give to SLC, give to SLC. But don't pay your tithe to SLC if you are not a member of SLC. Simple. Somebody paid their tithe to my account. I saw it so tight. I called the person. Why are you paying tithe? Say that, but I said, no, we have church account. I'm not the high priest. I also pay my tithe. Take this tithe back and pay it into the church account. Are you following my point? So the church is very cool now.
I'm going to say it. Because it's not on my neck, you are going to be poor. It's not on my neck. You must be rich in Jesus' name. So I will teach you. If you do it at your level, you will grow from there. So number one is your tithe. Number two, giving is giving to the poor. I'm going to emphasize this more next week because my time is up and I need to rush up. Giving to the poor. Giving to the poor is a channel of God's blessings. If you look at Proverbs chapter 19, verse 17, it says that gives to the poor loans to God. The poor around you are opportunities of God's blessings. Pay people's school fees. Pay people's hospital bills. Pay people who are in need. Don't say, I cannot have. Have a portion at your level. Have a portion. Have something coming out of you to someone else. Don't chop everything like gorilla. Let there be a channel. God said to Abraham, he said, I will bless you and you'll be what? Answer me now. Oh, these church people are not answering me this morning because I'm talking about money. I will bless you and you'll be what? You will be a blessing. The purpose of God making you a blessing that people around you will feel God's blessing. The moment you're a channel, you can never, never go dry. You can never go dry. You can never go dry as a channel. We were at Leia Tony's outreach yesterday to the old people's home. And people brought in bags of rice. Now, how many of you have noticed that Leia Tony's is doing more of those things these days? Why? The moment God sees that you have opened a channel, Casa, that guy can never be poor. Maybe he's one of the first buy private jet for us to fly in. Why? He has done how many has he done this year alone? This is the first of the year. He has done three in about the space of 4 months. And it's happening back to back. Why? The moment you have opened a channel, God begins to flood that channel. People like that will not die. Why? He says, I'm going to deliver him from his problems. Let me show you that scripture. Proverbs. I will deliver him from his problems. God wants to deliver you. Psalm 41 verse 1 to 2. Psalm 41, 1 to 2. Look at that. Give it to me very fast. Psalm 41 verse 1 to 2. What does it say? Blessed is he that considers the poor, yes?
The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble.
The Lord will deliver him in the time of trouble. You cannot use money to buy deliverance, but you can use giving to buy it. In the day of trouble, God will deliver him. Continue, what is the next?
The Lord will preserve him.
He will preserve him.
And keep him alive.
He will be alive.
And he shall be blessed upon the earth.
He will be blessed upon the earth.
And thou will not deliver him unto the will of his
enemies. He will not let all the enemies gather together and be wishing him evil. Wishing him, it will be on their head. Because the poor were praying for him. He can never go. There's a scripture that Job, you know, Bible spoke about Job, Job 29, 49. He spoke about how Job did this, Job did that. Job said, I was walking in wealth. Job was the richest in his days. He said, I was walking in wealth. I want to give you that. Give it to me. Job 29. Give me verse 16 and 17. So he starts first by saying all the things that he did. He was wealthy. He was this. He was that. Then he says, why am I that wealthy? Give me verse 16. What does it say? Job 29, 16.
I was the father to the poor.
I was the father to the poor.
And the cause which I knew not, I searched out.
The thing that does not concern me, I began to search out. Who are those people there? Why do they not have house? Why don't they have money? I began to search out cause that were not my concern. Continue. What does it say next?
And I said, I shall then die in my nest.
I will die in my nest, yes.
Sorry. And I break the jaws of the wicked.
He said, I broke the jaws of the wicked. If I see the wicked gnashing at people because they have money, I break their jaws and free the poor, yes.
And I plucked the spoil out of
it. I plucked the spoil from their teeth, yes.
And then I said, I shall die in my nest.
I die in my nest.
And I shall multiply my days as the sand.
I will multiply, I will live forever almost as the sand, yes. Continue.
My root was spread out by the waters.
Yes, continue.
And dew lay all night upon my branch.
What verse is this?
19.
So it says, because I was a father to the fatherless, because I became eyes to the blind. You have money, you just say the people, you just open one serious outreach. Free cataract tests. Cataract operation. Everyone with cataract operation, cataract needs to come. You don't have anointing for open eyes, but you have money for opening eyes. Who says that you must only have anointing to open blind eyes? You are using money to open blind eyes now. All the blind, open all their eyes. See, I became eyes to the blind. He said, that was why I was walking. Look at verse 1. What does verse 1 say? Verse 1. 29.
Moreover, Moreover, Job continued his parable and
said, yes.
All that I wear as in months passed.
All that I wear as the month passed, yes.
As in the days when God preserved me.
When the days that God was preserving me, yes.
When his candle shined upon my head.
Yes.
And when by his light I walked through darkness.
Yes.
And as I was in the days of my youth.
Yes.
When the secret of God was upon my tabernacle.
The secret of God was upon my tabernacle, yes.
When the Almighty was yet with me.
Yes.
When my children were about me.
Yes.
When I washed my steps with butter.
I washed my steps. He uses butter to wash his steps. That was wealth. Continue.
And the rock poured me out rivers of oil.
Yes.
When I went out to the gate through the city.
Everybody respected it. Why? He said, and yet, because I became a father to the fathers. You know, it starts with a dream. I want to help the poor. Some people cannot even dream of them losing 5 naira. If they wake up, it's a bad dream. If you listen to me, everyone that became a kingdom financier started thinking about before when they were poor. See, if I have money, I'll buy bus. There are people who are using SSC bus now. Don't get comfortable using that bus. There are people that will buy buses for SLC using that bus now in the name of Jesus. But there will be people that will use that bus for the next 10 years. It's not cost. Because they like Osho free. In their mind, now they get money now. That's why they get bus now. So they are going to enjoy. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. Their disposition is to enjoy other people's money and never to be a part of it. Somebody else is thinking, how can I ensure that I'm a part of this? How can I ensure that I put buses on the streets for SLC people? Somebody is thinking that, oh, mommy, I don't get that kind of time. Mommy, where they say they park that bus safe. Your own is just to enjoy other people. People that began to finance kingdoms started from small. 5 naira, 10 naira. I remembered how I used to give God $1 as offering in those days. I would go to zone 5 when I collect my salary. I had an amount that was going to be my offering. I would go and convert everything to dollars. I would come to church every service $1. Somebody said, why are you stressing yourself? You will still stress the person that won't change it back to naira. I said, yes, let everybody be stressed. I want God to know that I'm giving him dollar. Now, I am never in lack of dollars. Then if you catch me the night, I have dollars. Catch me the morning, I'm dollarized. I started $1. It was a dream that I was going to pay God in foreign currency. I was a copper. But some people can never dream like that. So one, give to God. Two, I'll end this because of our time, but I'll continue next week. But you have to let it sink in your heart. You cannot, this will never be your level forever in the name of Jesus. Put your hand on your chest. Put your hand on your chest. Say, this will be my least ever. Say, this will be my least ever. In the name of Jesus. So right where you are seated, you are thinking, God, I must be a channel of your finance in the world. I must be a channel of your finance in the world. I must be a channel. I must be a channel. I'm not just going to be a beneficiary or a consumer of your grace. I must be one that supplies your grace to others. That's how to run it. And you start as a young person. I need to teach you this. One of our elder ones, Mrs. Simba, my wife and I went to go and visit her. She said, Philip, you have to teach your church members how to give. You have to teach how to give. You know, I don't teach. How many of you know that for the past 3 years, I don't need to teach? I've never taught something like this ever in this church. If you know of you that started SLC with us, you know I've never taught something like this. I've never. And I don't really, at my disposition, I don't want people to think it's just about money. So I've been dodging it. But people are asking for me money for me too much. So I have to give myself break. Yes. Because if you have only few rich among multitudes of poor, the rich will not feel their money. So I changed my team. I'm going to teach you. So she said to us, she said that House on the Rock, when they started, that Pastor Paul and the Pharisee would pray that God would make their members wealthy. He said, right now, how many members have private jets? You have 9 members in House on the Rock who have private jets. 9 members. Private jets. So they would pray those days. Said she herself gave her house. She gave her house rent. And they were taught how to do dangerous things. She gave her house rent. She told us herself, her house rent in her house here in Abuja. She gave that money
when God said, give me the money. He said, the husband drag it with her. No, it's our house rent. He said, no, God said you give it. She gave it. He said, the landlord was coming to bang their door. He said, she will go and stay in front of us. They were beating the house on the rock that time. She would say, God, let me be watching your house go up. Why they are banging our house, that we should leave our house. Right now, when we entered our house, very palacious. There was gold from the gate. It's as the gate of heaven. Gold everywhere. She's stinking wealthy. Say, that's it. Say, teach your people. She'll be here for our conversion. Teach your people. So teach them from their young age. Don't wait till you are old before you start sowing seeds that you will reap as harvest in the future. And it doesn't have to be, you know, I'm still going to talk about giving to your parents, but I'll do that next week. There's still a lot of keys I have written down here. But this we must start today. Rise on your feet. Now, one of the things you must remember that I said that prayer is not the key to prosperity. What you are going to ask God for this morning is a grace. The grace to surrender to the requirements of His word. The grace to surrender to the requirements of His word. The grace to surrender to the requirements of His word. Lord, give me a heart that is yielded to your word. Give me a heart. Pray. Give me a heart that is yielded to your word. Give me a heart that is yielded to your word. Hey. Shate mambrato sika. Rika baba batosia. Are you praying? Are you praying? Are you praying this morning? Give me a heart that is yielded to the requirements of your word. Ika sute mambro kote. Lika baba shitaya. Give me a heart that is yielded to the requirements of your word. Give me a heart that is yielded to the requirements of your word. Give me a heart that is yielded to the needs of your word. Give me a heart, give me a heart, give me a heart. This morning I pray that I will not hold back. I will not hold back.
For listening to this message, meditate on these words and watch how it will transform your life. For inquiries, please call 0909-672-9827 or 0807-548-5997. You can reach us on Instagram and Facebook. Instagram at SL Church NG. You can reach us on our Facebook. That's Supernatural Life Church. You can